Good evening and welcome, candidates, you who are in the audience and those viewing at home. As a courtesy to all present, please cancel, don't we wish, silence your cell phones. This is the primary race candidate forum for the Democratic nomination for State Senate District 45. Both candidates tonight are members of the Democratic Party. I'm Susan Craig, member of the League of Women Voters of Johnson County, and I will be the moderator for this evening's forum. The forum is being live streamed on the League's Facebook page. It is also being recorded for rebroadcast on the three public education and government channels in Iowa City, Coralville, and North Liberty. Please check their websites for scheduling. Additional information about candidates may be found on the League's vote411.org website. The League of Women Voters is a volunteer, nonpartisan organization that neither supports nor opposes any party or candidate, which is why we have the policy that campaign literature is welcome outside of this room following the forum, but no buttons, signs, or literature can be worn or distributed inside this room. The League does take positions after considerable study of issues and acts to influence decision makers on those issues. We work to not only register voters, but also to provide them with the information on issues to assist their participation in government. Membership is open to anyone 16 years of age and older. Join us. We could use your time, your talent, and your financial support. League members advocate and inform voters. Democracy works best when more people are involved. Find us at www.lwvjc.org. The views expressed in this forum are those of the candidates. All viable candidates have been invited to participate. After candidates have been introduced, they will each have 2 minutes for opening remarks. We will then present questions to them, starting with one from the League, followed by one submitted on cards by you in the audience. League members are distributing cards and pencils for you to write questions on. You may submit as many written questions for the candidates as you wish. Hold up the cards and a League member will collect them throughout the forum and bring them to me to read. Questions that fall in the same general category may be consolidated. If time does not allow for all questions to be addressed, you may contact the candidates directly after the forum or at another time. Each candidate will have 1 minute to respond to each question. Due to the time frame, there will not be time for rebuttals. Near the end of the scheduled time for this event, each candidate will have 2 minutes for closing remarks. Speaking order will be rotated throughout the evening. Kiran Patel, League member, is our timekeeper tonight, using cards to alert candidates when time is about up and when it is up. We have two candidates running for one seat on the general election ballot for a 4-year term. John Raley and Janice Weiner are seeking positions on the Democratic ballot. One of the two candidates will advance to the general election in November. Audience members, please write your questions on the cards provided and pass them to a League member who will advance them to the moderator. Let's get started with opening statements. Please speak directly into the microphone so you can be heard. You can begin with your 2-minute statement, starting with John Raley.
Well, I want to thank the League of Women Voters for putting this forum on. I'm John Raley, and I want to work for you in the new District 45, which encompasses most of Iowa City and all of University Heights. I'm a self-employed small businessman in insurance and financial services, and I've been right here with you for the last 40 years. 44 years ago, I came from the Chicago suburbs to attend Coe College in Cedar Rapids, and when I drove across the bridge, the sign said, "Welcome to Iowa. State of Mines." We were number one in education. We're now 20th and we keep falling further behind. We need to get this corrected. I am passionate. I fell in love with Iowa. When I graduated from Coe, I was inspired by Emmett Vaughn, a professor here at the University of Iowa, who wrote a book on insurance and financial risk. So I came to Iowa City to start my own insurance practice and have done so for the last 40 years. Those 40 years of helping my clients through disasters, the floods of 93, the flood of 08, the tornado that ripped through Iowa City, and the recent derecho, has really brought to me the stress that comes on and the skill set that it takes to be a good listener and help people through disasters. I want to do that. I want to help more people. It's time that we have that leadership at the state capitol. I am very committed to education, small business, our immigrant population, and most importantly, our women's right to choose. I think I have proven leadership skills. I have proud roots. I have three children. My youngest is graduating from the University of Iowa in a week. And I want to work for you, and I'd appreciate your vote.
Good evening. My name is Janice Weiner, and I am running for the State Senate, District 45. That's most of Iowa City and University Heights. I've worn many hats in my life. Lawyer, mom, grandma, nonprofit board member, poll worker, diplomat, city councilor, public servant, and now a woman channeling my rage like so many of you. At no time in this country's history have more than half its citizens been at risk of losing a constitutional right. Our governor and our state senate leader have made clear where they stand. They'll continue to lead on life. So tell me, does permitless carry lead on life? How about slashing unemployment benefits, being pro-death penalty, making it harder to access SNAP? Does it mean bullying trans girls and women, opposing red flag laws, or undermining public education and banning books, or promoting abortion bans that provide no exception for rape or incest? I don't think so. Imagine a world where all the resources that have been poured into tearing down abortion went instead to building up, to reducing maternal mortality rates and supporting babies and children. Republicans claim to be for parents' rights. I stand for an actual parents' bill of rights, reproductive rights, the right to abortion, the right to a living wage, the right to family leave and to quality, affordable childcare with wage supports, the right to universal pre-K with wraparound care, and to fully funded innovative public education. These are human rights, civil rights, women's rights, children's rights. This is not a drill. This is our break the glass in case of emergency moment. So please join me in voting, registering, calling, educating, marching, getting out the vote, and taking back our country and our state from those who fear anyone who does not look or think like them. Thank you.
Thank you. Our first question tonight, and we'll start with Janice Weiner for her first answer, is from the League of Women Voters. In recent years, we have seen the Iowa legislature challenge the principle of local control by limiting local ordinances and bringing forward legislation that impinges on local control. Speak to your views on the legislature and local control.
As a sitting city councilor, I have very strong views on local control. There was a constitutional amendment in 1968 to create home rule as part of the Iowa Constitution. The idea is that people should be able to elect their officials and have policies made close to home. When you're elected to city council or school board, which are both nonpartisan for a good reason, everybody's your neighbor, and they're talking to you about the issues they care about. In the European Union, they have a concept called subsidiarity, and it means that the decision should be made at the level closest to home. So we can experiment and pilot ideas at the local level, and if people don't like it, they'll vote us out. If the legislature were doing its job, it would recognize and respect the boundaries and work on issues that affect the entire state and allow cities and local governments to do their jobs.
Yeah, I think that this is an example of government overreach, and I agree with Janice on many of her points. We have done so many proactive things right here in District 45 that are forward-leaning that we could bring to the state to say, look what we're doing. We're doing recycling, we're doing energy efficient things. And to have somebody else tell us that we shouldn't be doing these grassroots things is wrong. I think that we can see that that the city had our mask policy and made sure that we kept everybody health and safety, right? That's most important. And so for somebody to tell us in our community with a hospital that we can't do something is extremely wrong. So I feel home rule is the best way to work things. Thank you.
And John, you'll get this, be first on this next question from the audience. Why are you the best candidate for the office you are seeking?
I have had leadership roles in my industry. I was the past president of the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors. We had 2,000 members. We had both Republicans, Democrats, urban, rural. And in that leadership, I found that, well, if you make a mission and you look at things as to what you want to achieve, if you're helping those people on Main Street, which is our clients, then we could have success and work across the party lines. So I think that leadership is important to be able to work across the party lines. And I think I have that skill set, and I think I can work across the party lines to bring change that needs to. I think we need to reverse some of the things that have already occurred. It's human to make mistakes, but I think we need to work together to change those things.
I spent 26 years in the U.S. Diplomatic Corps, and everywhere I went, I had to get to know people from across the political spectrum and be able to speak to them, understand them. It didn't mean I liked their views or agreed with them, but I needed to understand what went into that and be able to explain it to Washington. At the same time, even though I can speak to everyone, it doesn't mean I'm going to agree with them, and there are red lines, such as women's reproductive rights. I also understand that you can't have a lot of ego in it. Work has to be done behind the scenes, especially when you don't have, your party's not in the majority. Even on city council, John mentioned the mask mandate. The mayor issued the mask mandate. I personally did all the behind the scenes work with different county governments and within city government and with the Gazette to make that a reality so that everybody was ready to go for it. And I also am looking toward the future. I've raised two girls. I'm looking at the world through my granddaughter's eyes, and that's why I think I'm the best person for the job.
Okay, and Janice, you'll be first on this question. I'm very worried that by representing Iowa City, other members of the opposing party won't take you seriously. Do you have a plan to assure they will listen to you?
Yes, I absolutely have a plan. Part of being a public servant and being in public service is really getting to know people and building relationships. That's been what I've done for my entire career, no matter what my job has been. So I will build relationships with people from the opposing parties, as others have done. I know Christina Bohannon has been very successful at it, as Mary Masher. And when you do that, then you find out the small things that you can agree on. You find out the things where you can make a difference at the edges. And you also find out how to work the system early on. So you have to get your points in early in a bill's life, particularly at the point where it's in subcommittee or by the point it's in subcommittee, because the Republicans won't entertain any Democratic amendments when it's up for debate on the floor. So it really needs to be early on in the process.
I am hoping to be involved in the Ways and Means Committee and the Appropriations, and I think that when you look across the aisle, sometimes it does come down to dollars and cents, and so economic development is very, very important, and I think part of that piece is education, right? We are down almost 20% counting for inflation in the last 10 years and investing in our education. And yet, we had proof that when you investigate in our university, every dollar that the state would give, there'd be a $15 return. It brought people to our city. It created jobs. They bought houses. They got married. We need to look at things from an economic value and work across the aisle and things that make sense and stop the overreach that's happening in education at the K-12 and in our upper education that's happening now.
Thank you. And John, you'll start with this question, which I could have combined it with the one before. It's similar, but we'll deal with it this way. What can we do about the increasingly extreme legislation by the Republicans if Democrats are in the minority?
We can't wait for the tables to change, okay? Because we have to have a plan to say, are we representing all Iowans? Because we're not. We know that a lot of Iowans feel differently about the legislation that's just passed and the overreach that's happening. And so we need to unwind some of those so that they understand, meaning the Republicans, that they need to stop meddling in things that we already had oversight on for our education process and all the other issues that affect some of the smallest people in numbers, but they affect everybody in Iowa because we all want to be a family. We need to work together to bring all Iowans up.
At base, my answer is we need to elect more Democrats. And we do that by, as soon as this primary is over, the people who win these primaries in these heavily Democratic districts work to elect other Democrats in Iowa, raise money, do our best to at least take one of the three levers of power in Des Moines. Absent that, we need to have a concerted messaging plan to call them out, to call out especially when there are lies and not to be shy about that. We need to register people, we need to call, we need to organize, we need to find other allies and talk to literally everyone we can talk to. As we've seen on the voucher issue, we have allies. The voucher bill has not passed because there are enough Republicans on the House side who know it would be detrimental to their rural schools, to their hometown schools, which are the hearts of their communities. And those are the issues we really need to focus on if we are not in the majority or do not have at least one lever of power.
Thank you. And Janice, you'll be first on this question. Do you believe in the law as laid out in Roe v. Wade, not as modified as decided in Roe? I'm not sure what that second part means, but.
So I'm not sure what that.
I'm not sure what it, it really wasn't a law, it was a court decision, but.
It's very simple for me. I believe that people have the right to choose, to choose what they want to do with their own bodies. It's a decision between a woman or a trans person and their doctor and their family and with no one else. So yes, I am a firm supporter of Roe. It's been whittled away over the years so that we don't have anywhere near the rights that we had before. It's also an equity issue. There are going to be abortions whether or not they're legal. The question is, will there be safe abortions and who will have access to them? At this point, when you look at the states that have limited it the most, it's BIPOC women and persons and people who already have a kid. 60% of women who have an abortion already have a child, but they don't earn a living wage, they can't see their way forward, and that's why they end up aborting.
I had Mother's Day with my 91-year-old mother yesterday, and she was in tears while we were eating because she fought so hard 50 years ago. And she looked at me and said, we can't go backwards. She said, this is wrong. What are you going to do? And so we have a lot of passionate people. I was so proud of the community when they went and marched, and we did that 2 days in a row. I think what's happening at the legislature, when they closed almost 50% of our Planned Parenthood places, and they couldn't get the $3 million for the federal government because they weren't investing in public health. And yet we see the evidence of what that's occurred. We need access. We need to ensure people's safeties, protect women's rights, their body autonomy, and not let courts make these kinds of decisions. This is private. We need to continue to protest.
Okay. John, I'm combining a couple questions here about strict scrutiny. How will you inform voters in advance of the proposed strict scrutiny gun amendment? And given the efforts at a constitutional amendment that features the concept of strict scrutiny, what would you want to see in the future for Iowa related to gun safety?
Well, first, we know there's a lot of money that backs legislation to have gun rights. And I think the first step that we need to realize that some of these things that are going on, like you can be 21 and you don't have to register and you can purchase, is wrong. We go get a driver's license, right? And we have to pass a test and we have to know the rules. We need to do that as well when it comes to gun safety. And I know that Mothers Demand Action is trying to get rid of gun violence. When we look at all the deaths that occurred from suicide and accidental gun deaths, it's more than our car crashes across the United States. This is a severe problem. We need to be leaders in Iowa to say we want great gun safety, and I will be a big proponent of that.
So strict scrutiny is, in my view, very dangerous, because it means if it ends up in the Constitution, it means that it will be incredibly difficult to pass any form of law that deals with gun safety. We need to make that clear across the state through every means we possibly can, by social media, in the newspapers, by radio, on television. We need a really good slogan, and it needs to be a part of everybody's campaign. What needs to happen, in my view, is we need to have safety first. Guns need to be locked. Ammunition needs to be separate. There should be universal background checks. We need to have red flag laws so that perpetrators of domestic violence can't own guns. We need to do that in part to prevent suicides, because if people get a gun in their hands, 90% of the time, it will be fatal. They don't have another chance. This is a huge issue. I don't want my granddaughter having to do active shooter drills.
This question's for you. First, it's been stated by a veteran reporter that Governor Kim Reynolds' administration is the least transparent in 30 years. What should lawmakers do with Iowa's open records laws to make any elected official comply with the law?
I believe she is the least transparent governor, at least since I've been alive. Even Branstad had regular press conferences. There need to be penalties, and there need to be penalties enforced. The lawsuit that was brought against her for failing to answer to open records requests, the judge sustained it today. In the last day or two, he refused to dismiss it, and I'm really happy to see that. But there need to be specific time limits. And there need to be fines, and the fines need to accrue at a certain rate. The government needs to be transparent, and our elected officials are public servants who take an oath to the Constitution to serve our state. They are not serving one party. They are not serving only a certain segment of people. They are serving everyone. And the transparency and providing documents when asked, giving press conferences, and recognizing that one represents the entire state are all essential.
We seem to be wrapped up in who's right and who's wrong. Our democracy is in peril. We just seem to be arguing. We need to come to the middle and think about what is Iowa all about. And Iowa should be about transparency. Specifically to our governor, she doesn't announce when she's coming into town. It is a hidden agenda. It is closed door conversations, and that's just not right. We all need to be part of that democratic process for our democracy. We need to change the focus, and instead of this who's right and who's wrong, we need to talk about what are we going to do to lift up all Iowans. What can we do to bring forward change that affects everyone, not just the few. We had missed opportunities with the tax cuts, right? I mean, they didn't ask us, and yet they did tax cuts to corporations, and we could have been funding education. They did tax cuts to you and I without asking us, without having a task force to say we could be reinvesting this money.
And you'll start with this question, which is very is similar kind of issue, deals with transparency in government, just a different branch of government. There appears to be more late night, sometimes early morning hours, passing of bills without public input. If so, what does this say about transparency, not only with the public, but also across the aisle?
Well, what it says is that there's a hidden agenda, and that's unfortunate. And I think that that should be one of the first things that happens when a session starts, is that they lay down ground rules as to how we can play fair, because we need that transparency. We need to know what each other is thinking, because that's how change happens. We don't know until we ask. We have to seek to understand the other person. So I think that would be the first step, is that if we're going to be for all Iowa, we need to do that one thing, is set the ground rules to say, no hidden agendas, just tell me what you're feeling. We're all human here, but let's work together so we can help all Iowans.
So the current session is still going because they haven't passed the budget yet, and they haven't passed the budget because the governor is holding them hostage to her school voucher program that the House of Representatives not passed. But what they're doing, everything they're doing is behind closed doors. They are not including the Democrats in anything, even though we probably have some good ideas about some things. This has been a pattern. And one of the ways to break through the pattern is to take one of the levers of government, because then people have to talk and people have to have a conversation. They also pushed the media into the balcony in the state Senate this year. That's never happened before. That's another real, very important part of transparency, is the media having access to state senators. And that should be rolled back as well. But until we gain more seats, until we have one of the levers of power, they feel they can act with impunity.
Thank you. And you'll start first with this question. It's a long question, bear with me, but an important one. Iowa has one of the most altered landscapes in the world. 85% of the land is used for agriculture. Iowa ranks first in the U.S. in corn, hog, and egg production, and second in soybean and red meat production. The use of Iowa's productive natural resources comes at a cost. Wetlands have been drained, streams have been straightened and diverted, streamside habitats have been shrunk or altered, and more than 99.9% of Iowa's native prairies have been plowed under to make more space on the landscape for productive farms. Without these natural habitats to slow down and filter water and retain healthy topsoil, pollutants from the land can readily find their way into Iowa's lakes and rivers. The loss of habitat has created profound negative impacts on native wildlife populations, both on the land and in the water. What actions would you recommend to restore Iowa's water quality and soil health?
I think we need to prioritize and incentivize the right things. If you have 14 minutes, watch Seth Watkins' TEDx talk about this. He is a farmer in Western Iowa. He used to farm the tech way so that he could maximize yields. But then he realized that soil erosion was 16 times what generation was. We used to have 157 different crops, and now we basically have two. So he started to prioritize stewardship and social equity, and to stop working against Mother Nature. He decided to see if he could do it and make it profitable. He went no-till. He had diverse rotation that enriched the soil. He used cover crops. He farmed with nature. He put in prairie strips that created roots and really enriched the soil again, and he integrated livestock into it. It turned out to be profitable, ecologically sound, and socially responsible. So if you care for the land, it will care for us, and that's what we need to be prioritizing.
We have an agricultural problem with the runoffs of the fertilizer and manure and the industrials and the plastics. And we need to find solutions, and we need to limit the size of the confinement operations, because sometimes they confine it to a building but not to a whole property, and so we get more than can be handled, and we get the runoff. So we need to have more oversight. We need to have stricter penalties, but we're not properly funding our DNR right now. And so how can we have oversight if we don't have the people, the boots on the ground, to go out and inspect what we expect? And we need to look for other solutions. I know we're proud of our biofuel and the ethanol, but we need to look at the next level and start looking 10 and 20 years down the road, because it takes 7,000 pounds to produce 328 gallons of ethanol. Well, I think a lot of these farmers would like to be feeding people food. We need to work on that. Thank you.
And you'll be first on this question. During the 2020 election, only 16 incidents of voter fraud within 159 million ballots, obviously they didn't, it's more than Iowa, they're counting there, occurred. That's 0.00001%. Do you think this exceedingly low rate of voter fraud necessitated Iowa changing its voting process to be so damaging to voters' rights and access to vote?
Well, they made it more restrictive, right? They made it harder to vote by mail. They made it harder to vote early. And so it's plain and simple. They want to affect our democratic process, and it should be the exact opposite. We should be having extended periods to allow for people to vote later and change this. This is a wrong policy. It's not good for democracy. We need to have everybody participate.
The short answer is no. I care so much about voting rights that when they introduced the first bill at the beginning of COVID before there were vaccines, I drove to Des Moines to give 2 minutes of testimony and then turned around and directly came back. Voting is fundamental. It's the bedrock of our system. If we don't vote, we lose our democracy. We need to enable people to vote, not make it harder, not sort of create a second Jim Crow. We must roll back the changes, expand absentee and early voting, and we need to get rid of the penalties, because right now they're threatening auditors and other election officials with financial penalties for minor technical infractions. I guess I would sum it up by saying, if you're afraid of the voters, then maybe you should change your policy.
Next question, to you first, Janice. 80% of people in the United States think that men and women are guaranteed equal rights in the Constitution. One sentence would ensure protections under the Constitution regardless of sex or gender. A 2016 survey indicates 94% of Americans support an amendment enshrining gender equality in the Constitution. Title IX and the Equal Pay Act are not permanent protections for women and can be rescinded or replaced at any time. Do you support an equal rights amendment? And if so, what actions should lawmakers take to ensure protections are available to all?
The first part is easy, yes. I supported ERA when it was first written. I still support it today. There are currently, I think Virginia was the last state to ratify. There are currently enough states to actually ratify it, but they said that the time had run out. We're seeing across the board that we simply do not have enough protections in our law. I don't think that's not something that we can have an enormous impact at the local and state level, but one thing we've seen across this country is local elections matter. It matters who we elect at council level, it matters who we elect at the state level, because those are the people, when you look at governors, when you look at state attorneys general, those are the people who end up making a lot of the decisions in this country. Secretaries of state, we need to be making sure that we have good candidates running at every level. We need to be working on making sure that we have more,
So yes, on equal rights. We're in a fragile time right now, and we're seeing that there's a lot of overreach that goes on things that they shouldn't even be involved, that shouldn't even be legislated, frankly. And so we're fragile in the sense that Governor Reynolds has four of the Supreme Court justices in Iowa, and seven out of the nine are from Republicans. And so you wonder what's behind the scenes and what they may have on their agenda. But I think that we start with the rights of people and yes to equal rights.
Thank you. Okay, we are at the time in the evening for ready for closing statements, and each candidate will have 2 minutes to make a closing statement. And John, you can start.
Great. We've got a lot of work to do, and I would like to lead that charge. I'm very hopeful and optimistic because of you, the voter that wants to make a difference for all Iowans. I believe that this is a fantastic community, and with your intelligence, and if we can prioritize, I want to work for you and start getting changes done to education, to get it funded. I want to make sure that small business isn't left behind. It's 92% of all the business in Iowa, and yet it's 80% of the revenue. Those are people that have under 100 employees. We need to support our small business. They only rely on federal government. We don't have any real state support for that. And we saw with the pandemic how we left people behind. Plus, we have people that want to start small business, so we need to have a playbook to know that we can support them. I want to help our immigrants. If you look at our last 10 years, we have 150,000 that we grew in Iowa. 44% was our immigrant and refugees. We need to start knowing that we are this diverse state. We know we're a diverse community here, and we're trying to do that hard work, but we need to work on making sure that we understand their culture, what they need for affordable housing, affordable childcare, so that we can make them successful, because they will invest in us. They've already invested us with their fantastic economic impact. We need to defend women's rights to choose, and we need to continue to protest. I have homework for you. It's Mental Health Month. If you know anybody that deals in the mental health profession, please reach out to them and tell them thank you for the hard work that they've been doing, because I know a lot of them are working way in the evening late and to meet schedules. I want to work hard for you, and I'd appreciate your vote.
Janice.
Thank you to the League. Thank you for your good questions. Yesterday was Mother's Day, a day actually originally conceived by Julia Ward Howe, who was appalled by the barbarism of the Civil War and the Franco-Prussian War, and separately by Anne Reeves Jarvis, who witnessed extremes of maternal and infant mortality. The focus was on women gaining power to change modern society. It wasn't about individual mothers. It was about the power of the collective. And I want you to consider that as we face a post-Roe world. As we look to the June 7th primary and the November general election, it's not hyperbole to say that our democracy is on the line. We see signs of it every single day, and it is much bigger than abortion. It will affect all aspects of our lives and freedoms. I served my country for 26 years as a U.S. diplomat, represented human rights and democracy abroad, and I am not about to stand by as those values are gutted here at home. It's not too early to look to November. Johnson County matters, and it's about more than electing people here. We need record registration and turnout this fall, voting blue all the way down the ballot so we can flip a U.S. representative seat, a U.S. Senate seat, and elect a new governor. Your vote is your voice, and every single vote counts. If you're not registered to vote, get registered now. Make a plan now to vote in the June 7th primary. Early voting starts next Wednesday, the 18th, including drive-through. Please sign up on my website, janicewforiowa.com, to volunteer, host a yard sign, and get our newsletter. Together, it is time to start moving this state forward again for the common good of all Iowans. I'm Janice Weiner. I'm running for the state Senate. I will listen to you and be your voice, and I ask for your votes.
Thank you. Thank you to our candidates. those of you in attendance, those watching at home, the Senior Center, and the staff of our local television station for making this video cast and live streaming possible. We would like to remind you that the views expressed in this forum are those of the candidates and that the sponsorship of the forum is not an endorsement of any candidate. Remember to vote in the primary on or before June 7th. We'd be glad to register you to vote if you need assistance. Thank you very much.